Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
We are studying the parables of Jesus together on Sunday morning, and today we're going to look at the parable of the sower and the seeds. And we are in Matthew chapter 13. I invite you to look there with me. I will be reading the first 9 verses, and then I'll be skipping to verse 18 and reading 18 through 23. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their heart. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Imagine, if you will, 2 men who go to hear Jesus here by the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And later they happen to meet each other in the marketplace. And one of them says to the other, he says, what did you think of Jesus' story and what he was saying? You know, I went to hear him talk about the kingdom of heaven, but all I heard was a story about a farmer and some seeds. And the other man responds and says, you know, I also went to hear about the kingdom of heaven, something that Jesus has talked about before, and you know, I now have come to believe that he is the Messiah, the one sent by God to begin the work of God's kingdom in the world. Now, what is the difference between those 2 responses? Both men were there on the seashore. Both men saw Jesus. Both men heard what he had to say. Both men even went with an intention to learn about the kingdom of heaven, which was something that all Jews of Jesus' day were interested in. The Hebrew Scriptures, what we now call the Old Testament, contains many prophecies about a coming kingdom of heaven. And Jesus had been using that terminology. For example, earlier, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
And he uses that term, or the equivalent kingdom of God, if you're reading in the Gospel of Luke or in Mark or in John. It has the same meaning. So Jewish people were looking for that, and they were interested because Jesus used that terminology. But the problem for the one man was that he didn't really understand what a story about a farmer and some seeds had to do with the kingdom of heaven. He just didn't get it. But the other man said, you know, not only do I believe that that story has something very important to tell me about the kingdom of heaven, but I even more so believe that the man who told it, that Jesus, is actually the promised Messiah, the Christ that is spoken of in our scriptures. And he is the one who has come to begin that work, to teach us about that work, and to invite us into that work together with him. So what is the difference between the two? Well, essentially the difference is faith. The one man does not have faith. As Jesus expresses it, that he does not have ears of faith, he does not have eyes of faith, and therefore what he sees and what he hears, although it's the same as the second man, he does not understand. He does not see what this has to do with what God is doing in the world. But the second man in our imaginary story is a man who has faith, is a man who has an encounter with Jesus. And because of the faith that God has given him, that gift of faith, he is able to recognize something about Jesus and about what Jesus is talking about. He has ears and eyes of faith. And Scripture is very clear that faith is necessary to be able to see and to understand and to live the things of God. For example, later in this very same Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 16, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples. And he has asked them the question, who do people say that I am? Like what's kind of the word on the street about me? And the disciples say, well, some think you're a prophet, and some think you might be Elijah, come back to life, and, you know, different responses. And then Jesus looks at Peter, and he says, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter replies, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus doesn't say, well done, Peter, you've learned your Sunday school lesson really well. You learned to repeat. That's the right answer, you know, and gold star for you or whatever. And all of that would have been true, but that's not the point. What Jesus says to Peter is this, very, very important. He says, Peter, human understanding has not revealed that to you, but rather my Father who is in heaven. To know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is something that only faith may reveal. It is something that only faith can see and can hear. And Peter here, as Jesus affirms, is not just repeating something he has been told. He is saying something he believes to be true. Jesus, Son of God, knows the heart of Peter, and he knows that Peter is speaking from a heart of faith. He truly believes this. Doesn't mean he understands everything about Jesus. Indeed, when we read about Peter in the Gospels, more often than not, he's confused, as are the rest of the disciples. This isn't about perfection, but this is about understanding by faith the very basic truth that Jesus came to teach. I am the Messiah, the one sent by the living God. But it is only by faith that this may be true for you. It is only by faith that you will see me and not see a humble carpenter from Nazareth, not see just another, you know, Jewish rabbi teaching like many other rabbis. It is only by faith that you will know me as the Christ, the one who was promised, the one sent by God, who is himself the Son of God. Only by faith. And that is the purpose of the parable, and indeed, in some sense, the purpose of all of the parables. But this parable of the sower and the seed, followed by the explanation that Jesus gives to his disciples later, when they're away from all the people,
later, when they have moved on, he explains this to them. This parable is about the fundamental truth of the necessity of faith. So you have in the parable, in the story that Jesus tells, you have one certain kind of response to Jesus and to the message that he brings, the message of the kingdom of heaven. And that first response that Jesus talks about is a hard heart, represented by the hard path that the seed falls onto, but it has no effect. And this is the person that does hear and see Jesus. Maybe they did learn some things in Sunday school. Maybe they heard someone talk about Jesus. Maybe they've even read some in their Bible, but it has no effect on them. They really couldn't care less. It's like, you know, water off a duck's back. No effect at all. That's one kind of response. Jesus says there's a second kind of response. It's represented by the shallow soil. It's shallow because of the rock that is just below the surface. There's not a lot of soil there. And he says that the shallow soil or the shallow heart is a heart that initially perhaps hears some things that Jesus says and at least some of the things that he says. Well, I kind of like that. I mean, I like it when he talks about loving people. And I like it when he cares for people around him and he does miracles for them, especially for those who are disadvantaged and, you know, kind of on the outskirts of society, and how he includes them. And I like how he treats the children. I mean, that's just so endearing how he's with the children. And I like that he tells me that God loves me. I like that. And other things he says I'm not so sure about, but I like that stuff, you know? And for a while, it feels good. And for a while, there's something there. There's something, some kind of initial response. But sooner rather than later, the reality of living in a world where there is sin and where there's evil and when there's hurt begins to predominate. That the worries of this world, and even if one is willing to tell other people that you've kind of started listening to this Jesus and you like what he has to say, and then you get people thinking that you're a fool or making fun of you or telling you that, you know, religion is just ridiculous and so on and so forth, there's no depth there. Because ultimately there's no true faith. Oh, there's an attraction to some nice things, but it's not faith. You see, Jesus as a good teacher, as a moral person, as someone that maybe has some good advice for my life that I can pick and choose between, but not that he's the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that I need to be obedient to everything he teaches, not just the things that I like and that, you know, make sense to me or that I think are good for me. And so because that faith, I mean, because there is no faith and that initial receptivity is shallow, there is nothing there to really hang on to. Eventually, Jesus just kind of fades out of the picture. Maybe that person still tries to be a good person, live a good life, and so on and so forth, but there's no true commitment to Jesus as he's represented in Scripture and is apprehended by those who have faith, who have eyes to see and ears to hear. The third type of soil is somewhat familiar. Jesus just uses kind of a different expression to talk about a similar thing. This isn't the shallow heart as much as the crowded out heart. Again, like the second group, these are people that initially hear about Jesus and they, you know, I'd like to be a Christian or I'll come forward at the altar call and give my life to Jesus. Because again, there are some things there that I really like about what I hear. But soon, a lot of the things start crowding in. You know, I think money is really, really important. But Jesus says it's not that important. But you know, so we start having divided loyalty. I wanna listen to Jesus, but I also listen to kind of what I want, when I want it, how I want it. You know, we begin, that kind of person begins to have a divided loyalty between Jesus and all the pleasures or things of the world. And those things begin to crowd out Jesus. And eventually, it's not a divided loyalty at all. It really is no loyalty to Jesus, at least not as he truly is. Simply a loyalty to self and to what the world has for me. And again, Jesus simply fades out of the picture of that person's life. The hard heart, the shallow heart, the crowded out heart. Jesus here is not kind of saying this is exhaustively everything there is to know about the human heart. He's just giving some examples. He could have used other examples. But they are just examples, but they all have in common that there's no faith there to create depth, to create a true sense of who Jesus Christ is and what he means to me as an individual. That is reserved for the fourth soil, what Jesus calls the good soil. And the proof of faith, the way in which that good soil shows that it is good soil, is that it bears fruit. That the message of the kingdom of heaven and the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God who is bringing that message, that is a person that I, by faith, have now dedicated my life to live in obedience to seek to become like him in who I am as a person. The evidence of that reality is that there will be fruit. There will be a result of the planting of the kingdom of heaven, of what I hear, what I see, what I understand. I, as I actually live it, it will begin to produce fruit. The fruit it produces includes the fruit of salvation. If you are a person who has been saved, you have been saved by grace through faith. Faith has saved you. And that is one of the fruit that has been produced in your life through the kingdom of heaven is at work in your life. See, God doesn't bring the kingdom of heaven into this world simply just to give us information. It is to make a difference. It is to change reality. Hear the reality of the human heart. And the reality is that the human heart that used to say no to God now is starting to say yes to God. The human heart that just looked in the past as Jesus stories as just being, well, kind of stories that we teach little kids. Then when you grow up, you know better. Now those stories become really the focus of life and the way in which I understand how I am to live my life. I am changing. And that is what the kingdom of heaven does, is it begins to change a person. And to say it conversely, if there is no change in the person, or if that change is just superficial, it's just for a brief period of time, has no staying power, then the kingdom of heaven is not being believed and absorbed by that person's heart, if you will, because there is no faith there. And so there is fruit of salvation. There is fruit of a desire and a willingness to be obedient to Jesus. That doesn't mean that the good heart is perfect. Far from it. None of us is perfect. But there is something within us that says, you know, I believe this to be true. By faith, understand that this is what God wants me to do. And by a matter of my will and with the help of God, these are things that I will work on. I take this seriously. I want to change. I see areas in my life where I'm weak, where God asks me in certain areas. I have a really hard time there. Or there are areas in my life where there's temptation that I have a hard time giving up certain sins. But the heart of faith is not the perfect heart that doesn't sin. The heart of faith is the heart that is sorry for sin, that honestly confesses sin and repents of sin. Repenting literally means turn around, to have a transformation, which again is faith is required for that to happen. Someone who is truly sorry for sin and seeks to live a different way. The fruit that the kingdom of heaven produces in the good soil is described by Paul in the book of Galatians as things like love and joy and peace and patience and these other fruit that he describes, again, not an exhaustive list, but an exemplary list, examples of the things that may grow within us and develop within us and mature within us. Fruit takes a while. It's why it's a good illustration. If you have an apple tree, you just don't one day have nothing and the next day have a fully developed apple. It takes a while to develop. And so it is with the fruit that the kingdom of heaven is producing in our life. Faith doesn't mean that it just automatically, boom, it's all there, fully grown, fully developed. But it is developing within us. It is growing within us. And it is producing, as Jesus says, 30, 60, or even 100 times more than what was planted. I think by that Jesus means that the different soil or different human hearts, all of them share faith, but they all have fruit in different ways according to the gifts that God has given, according to the guiding of the Holy Spirit. We don't all look identical in our fruitfulness, if you will, but in our individual lives we experience fruit. And that is part of what Jesus is teaching. And that is why he says, for those who have ears to hear, they need to listen and understand the key role that faith plays in the life of a person that seeks to be responsive to God and to Jesus Christ, who brings message, the good news of the kingdom of heaven. Now, some people have read this parable, and unfortunately, they focus too much on just the parable of the four soils, just those 9 verses, or even Jesus' later explanation, and they forget about so much else that Jesus teaches and the rest of the New Testament teaches, and even the Old Testament, and they have somehow come to believe that Jesus is teaching here that human hearts are static. In other words, that they don't change. It's like Jesus is saying, you know, some of you have hard hearts. I'm really sorry about that. That'll never change. That's just kind of who you are. And some of you have shallow hearts, and some of you have crowded out hearts, and that's just too bad because you're stuck with it. But some of you are good soil people, and those are the people I really like, and I'll hang out with you, and you get to hang out with me, and one day we get to go you know where, and so on and so forth. And that's just the way it is. That is not what the parable is teaching. And we need to be careful not to go there. The parable, in fact, is teaching just the opposite. Because if faith is a gift from God, it is something that we need to prayerfully receive. The reality, as Paul teaches in the book of Romans, for example, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, which is another way of saying that, and all of us are without faith. So our hearts are all in the natural state, in the human state, in who we are. We are all hard, shallow, crowded out people. So how do any of us become good soil? God is at work, and God is molding hearts, and God is changing hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit and through the truth and reality of what Jesus Christ did when he came into the world, where, yes, he taught many things, including in parables, but most importantly, he died and he rose again on the third day. And all of that, what Jesus did and what he lived and what he taught, it all comes together through faith to begin to change human hearts. And so if you know someone, a friend or a loved one, maybe someone that you prayed for a long time, and it's become discouraging because, you know, that person's hard heart or shallow heart or crowded out heart just doesn't seem to be changing, keep praying, because God is a God. Indeed, he is the only one who can ultimately affect a change. But he affected a change in your heart or in mine if we are good soil people, if we recognize fruit in our life, and we may even be surprised by it. You know, what does the soil do? What does it actually do to make the seed grow? The soil does nothing. I know it exists and it has chemicals and it's all of that. I mean, it's part of the plan, but its activity is nothing. It just lays there, right? You ever looked at soil? It doesn't do anything. But if there's a seed in it and you look long enough and you are willing to give it long enough time, something will grow. How did that happen? Well, it wasn't the soil doing anything. God is at work in this sense, in the literal sense, through the miracle of nature. We're the same thing looking at our apple tree and waiting for an apple to grow, right? Things happen because the soil is there, because the tree is there, but the actual fruit is something that the tree doesn't make. The soil doesn't manufacture. And so it is with you and me. And it can very well be that one day it's almost like we wake up and go, oh my goodness, there's kingdom of heaven fruit in my life. How did that happen? I mean, that's often what, and I think much more truly what it means to be a Christian and to recognize that we're a Christian than to say, oh, I know the answers, or I've read all the stories, or I decided that I'm going to be a Christian and bear fruit, you know, like it's the soils, you know, who gets to make all the decisions. That's not the teaching of Scripture, but thankfully it's not, because the Bible also said if that were the case, we'd all be going not there, but there, because we would be incapable of doing that in and of itself. So it is truly a blessing what Jesus is teaching here. It is by faith. And so it is that we can continue in hope to pray for those who, at least to our best ability, as best we can tell, are not evidencing fruit. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking basically about moral or ethical behavior. What I'm talking about is those things that reflect a desire and a willingness for Jesus Christ not only to be Savior, but to be Lord of my life. That when I read Scripture, I'm attracted to it, and I want to learn it, and I want to understand it, not for its own sake. Like I want to learn calculus or history or you know, fine arts, and I want to learn some theology. No, it's not human understanding. Peter, flesh and blood have not taught you this, but my Father in heaven. When we are attracted to these things, it is the fruit at work within us that God is producing as the kingdom of heaven is doing its work. And so we today have the question, what is our heart like? And if we find in our heart, and I think if we're honest, we all will find some hard places, some shallow places, some crowded out places, although hopefully there's still predominantly good soil, there's still predominantly a desire to love God and to love our neighbor as ourself. There is still predominantly a desire to be the person that God calls us to be, but we recognize there are places in our heart that need a little bit of work. Pray. Pray and ask God. Don't go out and buy a book on how to be a better Christian, at least not at first. It might be helpful, but it's not going to change you. God is the one who will change you. And He might use a book to kind of help you along the way or to share some truth with you. But it's God who's at work. It's not us making it happen. So if we find our own heart not being quite where kind of we'd like it to be in terms of the parable, not as purely in the soil category as maybe we'd like to believe, well, it probably isn't. And that's probably a good insight wherein you're helped by the Holy Spirit to realize that about your heart, for me to realize that about my heart, but prayerfully ask the one who can change hearts, Lord, where my heart is hard, soften me. Where my heart is shallow, give me depth. Help my roots to grow down deep into Christ, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Lord, where my heart is getting crowded out by things that are taking up too much of my loyalty, too much of my attention, help me to shift that to You and to recognize that those things, they may be important and they may be good in and of themselves, but I need to be careful that they don't become the important thing and the good thing. For You, Lord, are what is important to me, and You are the one who is good in my life. May the one who has ears to hear, listen, and understand. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this parable, among the parables of Jesus that we've been talking about and will continue to talk about in the coming weeks. We pray, Lord, that we who have faith, we who have come to recognize something within ourselves that is growing, that is developing, that's maturing, something that has already produced certain kinds of fruit and other fruit is maturing and becoming more complete, becoming more real. Lord, that's all a sign of the kingdom of heaven growing within us. And it only grows within us if faith is a part of that process. So, Lord, it's not so much of a matter of us trying to decide whether or not we have faith. It is rather us discovering that indeed we do have faith, a faith that You have given to us. And so, Lord, continue to grow our understanding, not just simply an intellectual understanding, theologically or doctrinally, all these teachings of the church and scholars and so on, but much more importantly, a spiritual understanding where we understand you better, we understand ourselves better, both the good and those things that need to improve, and so that we may continue to be changed, that our hearts may become more and more like the heart that you desire in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.